Did want about a trip that Carl DeRosio and myself from Lighthouse Harbor Ministries were able to have. We went to the Philippines and Singapore and had a wonderful time there. So wanted to share some slides with you here, give you a little bit of a feeling of what it was like to be there and some of the experiences that became very real to us. You know, we know the Bible, we read the Bible, and sometimes it has an effect on us, and then you see a situation, and I would say it becomes much deeper in meaning. And this was a wonderful time for us there, so I just want to share with you there for a few minutes, try to watch the clock back there. And pray that it's interesting, and most importantly, that it draws our thoughts and our worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that is worthy. On the next slide, you'll hear me saying that a lot, I think. Yeah, this verse here has been, if you've been around me in the last year, you maybe have heard me quote this many times, because it's the last part of this verse that really hit me there. Acts 20 and 24, it says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." This is what really has hit me. "To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To tell others of the goodness of the grace of God." That is what is our purpose should be. And this is certainly what I want my purpose to be. To tell others of the good news of the grace of God. If you look around the world right now, we have many problems. We have people trying to hold each other accountable. We have people pointing fingers at one another and then kind of forgetting that they also have fingers pointing back at themselves. But when we look at God's grace, God is the one who can point a finger at us. He's the one that can point a finger at me. And there's no finger that I can point back at God. And yet he shows me grace. And so as I've been thinking about grace recently, and the importance of it, and how much it means. And next. As I was thinking about grace, I was reading this verse here. And I thought, what a great illustration of God's grace. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." God's grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor. It says that we are now not condemned. Well, what does that mean then? It means that before we were condemned. That's terrible. And as I think of, as I worship the Lord, some people have told me I talk too much about how bad how bad we are, and we should just focus on the Lord. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that to heart. And think about that. But I know this. When I consider my own self, when I would say I look at myself in the mirror, not the outward self, but the inward self, it makes me appreciate God's grace even more. If I consider myself a good person, then God's grace is not so meaningful because, hey, I already was a good person. But when I realize that, no, I was not a good person, then it makes me appreciate God's grace to a much greater depth. And so I think we need to consider ourselves. Where would we be without the Lord? Well, then it makes me appreciate God's grace to me. And I'm so thankful for that. Next. Yeah, so we arrived in Manila. We did a lot of extra flying around because Singapore Airlines was the cheapest airline. Of course, they fly out of Manila. And so we added a few extra flights in just because it was actually cheaper to go that route. Next. This trip was supposed to happen 3 years ago, but because of COVID, it kept being postponed. And what drew us to this trip was a conference for Seafarers Ministries, Evangelical Ministries, that was to be held in Singapore. And that was supposed to happen 3 years ago. And because of COVID, of course, it kept being delayed, 6 months and then another year. And then finally, we were able to have it, which was really a blessing. But I always had planned that we would visit the Philippines when we were over in Asia. So here's a picture, one of the first meetings we had. Carl and I had many meetings lined up. And, I'm in many of the pictures. It's not because I like taking selfies. I do not. But that's just the way it works when you're taking pictures with people. This man here is Jose Fagoso. He used to sail into Vancouver in the early 2000s and that. He would sail into Vancouver about every 6 weeks on a company called Westwood Lines. And he was eventually the chief engineer on board. And I was on another Westwood ship here about a month ago, and I sat down for lunch with an Indian captain and an Indian chief engineer. And I was just sharing with them, and I said, do you guys remember, did you ever work with Jose Fagoso? And they told me, no, we never worked with him. I don't know him, but I've heard a lot about him. And you know what they heard about him? He held Bible studies on board. This is the Hindu sailors. They told me they were Hindu. They knew that this man held Bible studies on board. He's been retired from the company for over 10 years, but he's still well known for the testimony that he had on board. So I thank God for these men. Even amongst people that don't even know them directly, their testimony is still there. Next. This is Manila, I tell you. Motorcycles everywhere. But this is actually a very deceiving picture. And I'll tell you why. Everybody on the motorcycle is wearing a helmet except for one man. Most of the time, it's the exact opposite. Nobody's wearing a helmet. Oh, maybe they have a helmet attached to their wrist on their forearm. It's hanging there. And you see there, I think there's one person wearing a face mask on your right. And normally, it's the other way around. They're all wearing face masks. Your cat friend is coming back in here, by the way. normally they don't wear helmets, but they make up for it by wearing face masks. You know, they're afraid of COVID, but they're not afraid of cracking their head there. And so they're flying around, going every which direction. And one thing I learned is rules are just suggestions there. And so it's quite chaotic, the traffic. But I have to say, it works. Once we got out of the main cities, we did not see one traffic light nor one stop sign. And we were going through some, big villages, large, small towns. And you come to the main intersection, which was so busy, and there wasn't one thing to direct you, and yet it worked. We, honk, honk, toot, toot, swerve, and away you go. And so it was quite an experience, and I'd have to say the Lord protected us in our travels. I personally would not drive there. I'm not brave enough to do that. I wouldn't know how to handle it, not being told what to do as far as what lane to be in and traffic signs and that. But they went boldly at it there. Next. Just the type of stores that are everywhere. This is actually quite a well laid out fancy store here. As we were driving to a smaller area. We had a 5-hour drive the second day that we were there. Next. This is a contact of Carl's. He met a chief engineer on board, and this chief engineer was a believer, and was actively trying to share the gospel. And so he loved the fellowship from the Christians, anybody that would come. And so he has had Carl speak at his church there. And they're so giving. This is a church that he has just in the driveway beside his house. And so he invites the people in. They have a lot of zeal. I would say they probably don't have a lot of teaching, but they accept a teaching from the Word of God. And so we were able to go there and share. Carl has spoken there via a Zoom in the past. But they are just so hospitable. And, you know, it was so hot. We would be in the high 30s and high humidity. But apparently it's even gotten hotter in the last few weeks. By the way, we came back April 22nd, so we're just back 6 weeks or so now. Next. Different sites, that's for sure. Here's a traveling store. He's probably heading down to the beach to sell his goods here, and it's just very common there. They all ride a motorcycle, and if they're well-to-do, they'll add a third wheel to it, making it a tricycle, and you'll see some other pictures here next. Sorry, on this trip, I did not focus on taking a lot of good pictures. My focus was to meet the people and talk to the people, so the pictures are not that great. But you'd see all these tricycles there. One time we're riding along, and we're driving in a car. Carl starts laughing. I said, "What's so funny?" Well, here there was a tricycle, it's got three people on the seat. It's got three people in the sidecar. And it's got one little boy on the roof rack of the sidecar. And he's holding on for dear life as they go zipping along there. No helmets, no street signs. It's the Lord who's protecting them there. Next. You can see this one here is not really a passenger sidecar. It's really a cargo one. They may carry water bottles, propane bottles, rebar, wood. They carry everything. Oh, in the morning, though, they use it to take the kids to school. So they just put a plank across on the side there, and the little kids are sitting there, and they're bombing down the highway. Children everywhere. It's beautiful. Children everywhere. Next. This was the second church that this chief engineer had started, and we were invited to it. It was beautiful. It's just in a field, down a country lane. When we had our driver from Manila driving us to the place, and we messaged to our chief engineer friend, said, "Can you please give us your address so we can put it in Google?" He said, "Well, you just go past this sign, and you go a little bit further, and then we're on the right." I said, "Great, could you please give us your address?" "Yeah, you go past this sign, and then that sign, and then we're on." We asked him three or four times, and he never could tell us his address, and I don't know if he knew his address. It was just all by description. And that was in a bit of a village. This here is just out in farm country. Next. But here they were gathered to meet us. You can see it's just got bamboo poles, a tarp for a roof, and they were waiting there for us to come and speak to them. What a privilege to speak to them there. Next. You can see them there. It's not showing up too clear there, but all the little children and the parents there. And we were able to speak to them. At first, we were being translated. And then the translator gave up, and we just talked to them. So we hope they were able to understand us. So able to share with the children. We would love to go back and do a vacation Bible school type week there. The children are just everywhere. And they can speak good English. Or I'll say good enough. That we would be able to share with them. And they love any kind of attention, any kind of little gift or appreciation. Next. Yeah, that was us just at the end there. Kids all gathered around. We're an attraction. Anybody from North America is an attraction there. And so we can use that for the gospel's sake. Next. This is back to the chief engineer's home. It's just out on the street there. They're very formal, get signs made up with our names on there as if Yeah, we're coming for some big series or something there. Next. It's outside. It's just under a cover, a bit of a loose wall on the side there. In that kind of temperature, you don't need walls. You don't need a heater, that's for sure. Thankfully, every one of our rooms that we stayed in had air conditioning, because it's one of these places where you have a shower, and the second you step out, you're going, oh, I need a shower. Yeah, the humidity is so high. Next. And these were the people there. They had been waiting over an hour for us, and they patiently waited for us. And it was such a privilege to sing with them. And if you know Carl, he's an amazing musician. So he's able to play the keyboard with them and to lead them in singing and to sharing the word of God for them. Next. This couple here, the lady on the right there, the chief engineer's wife, their daughter just graduated as a doctor. And so this, they barbecued a pig. They call it lechon. A real specialty to them. This was a big deal. And because we were there, and because her daughter had just graduated, they did this big lechon. Not my favorite thing, but they sure put a lot of time and effort into it. They give you their very best. And as we were there, it sat out there for a good couple of hours. And of course, we're kind of watching what we eat. You know, you can have problems in these countries, and it's not the funnest thing in that. And so we're being very cautious about what we eat or drink there. Well, the next morning we came back, and the pig was still sitting in the same place. I go, okay, you wouldn't pass the food safe rules here. And it's a lot like that on the ships too. They tend to put their food out in the morning, and then it just stays out there. And they think if they cover it in saran wrap, it's protected, right? What else can get to it? But anyways, the Lord protected us. We were very thankful for that. Next. This chief engineer, now that he's not sailing, he teaches in a marine school. And when I was in the Philippines 6 years ago, we were able to visit a couple maritime schools. And so we had arranged that we went to this one here. And so this is some of the cadets. And they allowed us to stand in front of them and share the gospel with them and tell them about seafarers' ministries and the need to be reading the Word of God. They cover a lot of subjects in these schools, but it's on a technical side of the job. But these sailors, when they're leaving home and getting a paycheck, there's a lot of temptations around the world. And so we're able to share with them. Next. Yeah, this is now the instructors up at the front there. But it was just an outdoor school that they were being trained in that day. Next. This is back to the chief engineer's home. Most of the kitchens are outdoors. Most of the kitchens are just run by a propane bottle. That's their everything they have for cooking. They live a very, I'll say, simple life. But family is very, very important to them. Family is very, very close to them there. And when one hears the gospel, it means all are going to hear the gospel. And that's a wonderful thing. Next. Yeah, again, the work truck here, in the morning, first it's got to deliver the kids to school, and then it can get down to doing its business to make money. Next. This is an able-bodied seaman I've met a number of times. His name is Freddie. Every time I visited him on his car carrier, Freddie always wanted to give me something. Normally, I give them something, but Freddie always had something that he wanted to give me. And I had put on Facebook that I was going to be in this city on this day, in this city on this day. And if you are home, I'd love to have a coffee with you and meet up with you. He messaged me. He says, I've just signed off. I've just arrived in Manila. I want to meet you. Well, he went to great lengths to come and meet me and Carl in a shopping mall there in Manila. After his 9-month contract, he still had not gone home yet. He was delaying going home until after he had met up with us. I was very impressed. If I was away from my family for 9 months, I'm like a horse that sees the barn. I'm going. Nothing's getting in my way. I'm going. I'm not waiting around. But he did. And I said, you know, because we kept being delayed, and I said, we have another meeting. I said, you know, we're only going to be able to meet for an hour or two. That's fine. He says, once we're finished, I will then go to the bus station and take my bus home. So then he had an 8-hour ride on the bus, which would land him about 4 a.m. in the morning, and his dad would pick him up and drive him another 2 hours before he'd finally be able to be home with his family. But he so wanted to visit with us there. Next. Not very clear on this picture there, but we went to the Norwegian Training Center. It's a full mock-up bridge of a ship there. Very, very expensive. You'd say, why is the Norwegian Training Center in Manila? Well, because that's where the sailors are from. You don't find very many Norwegian sailors, but you find many Norwegian companies. Next. This is Callao Street in Manila. This is Sailors Street. I was there 6 years ago, and there was probably over 500 sailors on that street. Many of the manning companies have offices in the neighborhood, and so the crew are down there doing their paperwork, applying for the next position, writing their exams, renewing their papers. And then when they're kind of finished, they go back and they hang out on this street here. Well, I had heard different stories of whether this street was still like this because of COVID. Because during COVID, there was nothing. There were zero sailors out there. Well, we arrived here that morning, and the street was jam-packed with sailors. I was smiling ear to ear, I got to tell you. We walked and talked most of the day. It was so hot, we ended up having to finish about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We were just exhausted. But we walked and talked with so many sailors. Next. Giving out gospel tracts. I had brought a small suitcase full of gospels, of tracts, of bookmarks, English and Tagalog, and pencils and stickers. And even though it wasn't a big suitcase, it was heavy. Matter of fact, when I went to check it in, they were concerned about the weight of it because literature weighs a lot. We were giving it out, and people were coming around to us. What are you doing? Why are you here? One man walks up to me, and he shows me his phone. He says, we're friends on Facebook. He says, I met you in Vancouver. So it was really encouraging to see this. Many have been to Vancouver. Some remember Lighthouse. There was only the one man that I had actually, who knew me. It's a testimony that goes around the world. And it's just awesome to see. Next. Yeah, I don't know if that was the best shirt to be wearing when you're looking for a job. You know, lazy but talented. Yeah, but you see Carl on the right there just talking with people. They're so open to talk to. They're willing to talk and to listen. And they're very, I'll say, God-fearing. They don't read the Bible. That's a big part of it. They're not reading the Bible. The number one thing I do as I minister on board is I try to encourage them, read the Bible. I try to open the Bible with them and let them see that it actually has answers to their questions. It's not just this big mystery that nobody understands, so don't open it. No, let them see that there's actually answers in the Bible to their questions. It's wonderful to show. Next. Yet there's a police officer on duty there, had a nice talk with him. He was sitting down there, big husky guy, as tall as me, and that's tall for a Filipino, but much heavier duty than me. But he stood up to talk to me. And I spoke to him there for 15, 20 minutes and just told him about our work, told him, shared again with him the gospel and the need of a savior. And he listened so respectfully there. Next. Yeah, there's Carl talking to somebody else. Next. More guys, they're just all over the street every day. Next. This was an interesting fellow that I met. He came up to me. Very fine-looking, older Filipino man, very well-spoken, perfect English. And he came up to me and told me that he had been a sailor on a cruise ship. Now he's retired, and he does a little bit of work recruiting people for positions on board a cruise ship. I told them about the work of Lighthouse and the purpose of it, to share the word of God with the sailors and to help them out with their practical needs here. He then started to tell me what a good man he was. I said to him, I said, "Sir, you sound like a very good man, but are you good enough?" Then he went and he explained even more details how great he was and what a good man he is, and how he'd forgiven his wife and he'd helped out people. I said, honestly, you sound like a good man. It'd be a great friend to people, but are you good enough to get to heaven? And so he went into more details. And finally he says to me, "I know I haven't answered your question." I said, "Sir, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by God's grace that we can get into heaven." And he was just, I'd say, blind at that time to his need of a Savior. At the end of our conversation, nearing the end of our conversations, we traded business cards. And this was his business card. Next. But this was his full business card. I said to him, "Sir, it's even on your own business card. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Sir, it's not about you. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ alone." I said, "You have it on your own business card. You put it there." Well, I still pray for him because I believe it was a divine meeting. Because I believe all of our meetings are divine meetings to share the grace of God, to tell others of the good news of God's grace to us. Next. Grace, undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. You know, I was sitting with two Indonesians at our center there a couple of weeks ago, Muslims, very, very nice men. And they were good friends. They just came to get off the ship and be together. And they were just having a friendly conversation between them. And I joined them there. And we had just a nice three-way conversation. Very nice men. And I asked them, "Are you Muslim?" Because most Indonesians are. Yes, they said they were Muslim. And I said, "I know a little bit about Muslims, Islam. But I said, I don't know a whole lot." I said, "What happens to you when you die?" Well, then they started to explain to me that, if you're good enough, if you've done enough good, then you hope Allah will accept you. And I said, "Well, how are you doing? Are you a good man? Do you think you'll make it? We need to do better." "Well, okay, I can relate to that. How's that working? Are you doing better?" "Well, you have to be good." And we went just around and around in circles. And to me, it was very sad to hear. It made me really appreciate the grace of God, that my salvation is not resting on what I have done, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Unmerited favor. There's nobody going to be in heaven pointing to themselves and saying, "I deserved it. God chose me because I'm so good or because I'm good enough." No, it is unmerited favor. But you know what works is? Works-based salvation is the exact opposite. It's deserved. It's merited. It's earned. But you can't get to heaven that way. And what a privilege it is to tell people who are struggling in this conflict inside. They know they're sinners. Someone gave me good advice maybe 5-10 years ago. Don't talk to people about their sins. Do a self-test. And they will come along right along with you. And I have found that to be so true. I tell people about my sins. I don't go into details. But I tell them that I have many sins. And I can tell you from the sailors I talk to, they say this, same. They relate to it because I'm not trying to point a finger at them. I'm pointing a finger at myself. But I say that's why God's grace is so beautiful. that he would give me something that I do not deserve. Undeserved. Next. Yeah, when asked what makes Christianity unique among all the world's religions, C.S. Lewis replied, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." You know, as I talk to people from many religions, it's the same story. It's not about God's grace. It's about them earning it. But they know they're not. Outwardly, hey, we put on a shirt and try to look nice, and but inwardly, that's where the problem comes. I've been asking the sailors this recently. If you could describe heaven by a color, what color would you use? Most have come back with this, white. One man said gold. Huh, that's a good one, answer too. But I said, I would agree. Heaven would be white. One guy says, pure. Yeah, very good. I said, how would you describe your thoughts? Most come back and say black. Some have said gray. One man told me white. But I say, can God let black into heaven? No, God can't let black into heaven, because then heaven will become like earth, full of sin. I said, we need to be washed. We need to be clean. And that's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace that he has provided a savior for us. Next. Yeah, people think heaven is DIY. Do it yourself. That's what they think. How do you get to heaven? It's just earning your way to heaven. But grace is the exact opposite. Undeserved, unearned, by God's grace alone. Next. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer work. A bit of a tongue twister there. Got to wrap your mind around that. Think through that one slowly. But what a wonderful verse. You cannot have it being partially grace, partially works. It's one or the other. And we know that works won't get us to heaven. I tell the sailors this. I wanted to be a good man. When I was in my teens, I can tell you I wanted to be a good person. But I actually found that the older I got, the worse I got. And the more money I got, the worse my sins got. I can tell you many sailors, they agree with me 100%. They understand what I'm talking about. I said, I soon realized I was not going to get to heaven by being a good person, as much as I wanted to be. I could only get to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was good news to me. Next. Then we went on to Singapore. From Manila, we went to Singapore for this conference. Next. As we were walking onto the plane, as Ian can tell you, you get to sometimes spot sailors. You just know there's a group of men traveling together, not like a family, but like a group of friends. So you soon get to spot them. Even when they're walking in North Vancouver, I can generally spot, you know, oh, those guys are probably sailors. So we're walking onto the plane, down the ramp onto the plane, and here are some guys there. And Carl says to them, are you guys sailors? Yep, they're sailors. And so we started chatting with them just as we were walking onto the plane, told them we were from Vancouver. Guy opens up his phone, looks there. There's our Canadian flag sticker with John 3:16 on it. He says, yeah, I got one of these. We were handing them out too. As we were walking off the plane in Singapore, there's a guy holding a sign, Star Lofoten. I've been on that vessel many times. They were doing crew change in Singapore. And so the crew were coming off. And so we stopped and talked to the agent there and explained just what we did and why we were doing it and gave him some tracks. And there was just so many opportunities. On the flight to Manila, the first flight there, Carl had an awesome opportunity to speak to a Filipino who's now living in Winnipeg. Next. Singapore, largest port in the world, unbelievably big. We have two major container ports here, Delta Port and Vancouver Centerm. They're both handling, I think, about 1.2 million containers a year. That's what they're trying to get up to if they're not there yet. Singapore, 60 million containers a year. It's a very, very busy port. It's a tiny little country city. I understand it's about twice the size of Surrey, the whole country is, but very well laid out. I've always told people, if you've never been to Hong Kong in your life, you need to go. But I would say even more so, if you've never been to Singapore, you need to go there, except not in the hot temperatures, because it took the life out of you there quite quickly. Next. This was a group of wonderful people who are sharing the Word of God in different parts of the world. Met so many ones, so many there that are put me to shame. That's all I can say. They put me to shame in their zeal for sharing the gospel. One fellow there works with a group that I would not call evangelical, but he is. And they are probably, they're trying to push him out. He thinks he's going to be pushed out because he's not towing the line, and he's not being quiet about the gospel. And he talks about how many Bibles he gives out and how many people he's shared the gospel with and how many people he's led to the Lord. And they're trying to hush him, but he's not going along with that. So he doesn't know how long he'll last. But here is all these people here, some from Germany, Alaska, of course, Vancouver, the Philippines, Australia, England. It was a wonderful time of fellowship. There wasn't a whole lot of structure to it. It was fellowship. It was prayer. It was worship to the Lord. It was a beautiful time together. Next. Yeah, some of the structure there in Singapore, very well laid out city. Next. This was the Singapore Bible House. What I found interesting was all the pictures on the wall with stories about the missionaries who had come 100 plus years ago. And they would have come from big denominations that today I maybe would not consider them, you know, really evangelical or Bible believing. But I tell you, back then they were. And reading the stories of these people and the sacrifices that they were making to bring the Word of God to these different countries, it was really amazing, very encouraging. Next. Some neat structures there in Singapore. Next. This is a couple from Australia. They work alone. She is Malay-Australian. She has the sweetest accent. But they have been faithfully sharing the Word of God on board the ships in Australia for many years. Next. One thing we found, we all have the same problem. Most have gray hair. We need replacements. We need the next generation to be coming up. This is what we heard over and over again there. We need the next group, next younger generation coming on. This was mostly the Vancouver group. Three on the right from Vancouver, and then the fourth one is from Prince Rupert. Zitho does an amazing job up there from the Philippines himself. Next. Yeah, just this is our airport. I mean, you go online, look up Singapore Airport. It's pretty spectacular. Next. Next. So from there we flew, and I'm going to finish here. From there we flew to Cebu, and we're put in contact with this fellow here. And Carl and I went out for coffee with him, and he's training to be a fourth engineer on board with the hopes one day of being chief engineer. We asked him how he became a Christian, and this was his first thing he said to us. I was saved through Samaritan's Purse Christmas gift box. He says, I was raised in a slum. We had nothing, absolutely nothing. They came in and they gave us a Christmas gift. We would never get a Christmas gift. We had nothing. He said they came in and they gave us this gift. And in it was a small toy. There was a snack. And there was a gospel pamphlet. He says this was great. It put us in contact with a local church that was reaching out to people in our neighborhood. Me and my sisters started going to this church. The more verses you memorized, the more food you got to take home. He says, me and my sisters went at it. We could take food home. This was great. He says, you may not hear these stories. You may not know. But he says, I can tell you, I looked at these people as angels that came to give us a gift. All his two sisters and himself have all come to trust the Lord. He wanted to give back. His name's Ian. He wanted to give back. And so he heard about the Operation Mobilization missionary ship there, Logos Hope. So he wanted to join that. So he made up his mind then that he would go and become an engineer so he could work on board. What he didn't know is they take anybody. You don't have to have a particular trade there. So he went on board, I think, for over a year on board the ship there. But now he has come back, and he's upgraded his education now so he can go back as fourth engineer. But Operation Mobilization has a second ship now, the Dulos Hope. And it's a smaller ship, and it's just planned to work in Asia. And so he's going back on board there shortly. And one thing he wants to start is what they call the ship-to-ship ministry. Now, if you know about Operation Mobilization and their ship there, they are a floating bookstore. And that's how they get into countries where the gospel is not allowed. They get in there, and they have people come on board. Thousands and thousands every day will come on board. But they also have Bibles and other Christian literature there. But they have books on every subject, university subject there. And that's what draws them to their ship. But they've started up another ministry there through a fellow that we know. And they now try to visit the ships that are beside them when they're in port. So they call it ship-to-ship ministry. Before it's ship-to-shore, now it's ship-to-ship. And so this fellow, Ian, wants to start up a ship-to-ship ministry on the new vessel that they have there. And so here he is. He wants to follow the Lord. He wants to give back. We had such a wonderful time with him there of sharing with him from the Bible. One thing we said to him there, I said, have you read through the Bible yet? And he kind of gave us this look of like, that's an impossible task. I said, we want to encourage you. Read through the whole Bible. You're not going to do it overnight, of course. You may not even do it in a year. But make a plan to read through the whole Bible. We hear many times over the people that are even leading churches in different places, they have never taken the time to read through the whole Bible. Maybe they have thought it's, no one can do that. But it is very doable. I have been reading through the Bible once a year, approximately, maybe a little less than that myself. I have a friend who reads through it three times a year. I have a friend who, the previous January, he read through the whole Bible in January. We have another friend that works with us a bit at Lighthouse. When he was a new believer trying to learn the Bible, he read through the Bible in 2 weeks. That's a full-time job to read through it in 2 weeks. But he was hungry to see what it said. He was hungry for the Word of God. So we encourage Ian here, make plans to go through the whole Bible. Don't just read a part of it. Just don't read it casually. This is our source of life and hope. So I wanted to just emphasize really the importance of grace. And this is what we're teaching others about, God's grace. It's not merited. It's not deserved. It's undeserved. It's unmerited favor from God. And all we can do is lift our voice in praise and thanks for what he has done, offering us his so great salvation, that there is therefore now no condemnation. To help me worship the Lord, as I consider where I would be without the Lord, it really helps me to thank him for what he has done. And as Ian mentioned there, our friend Mark Dean passing, I've gone to too many funerals. I've spoken at too many funerals in the last year or two. I've gone to too many, but all it does is makes me thank the Lord for what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your grace. why you would ever look at us and see anything of value. We were rebellious. We were not interested. We went our own way. We would even curse your name. But Lord, in your mercy, in your grace, you have shown us our need of a Savior. And when we turned in need, we found a Savior waiting for us with open arms. We can only praise you and thank you. Lord, we thank you for people around the world that are faithfully sharing your word. They've maybe never heard of Vancouver, never heard of Burnaby, never heard of Parkcrest, but they know their Savior. And they are sharing your word with those around them in whatever ways and means that they can. Lord, we pray that you would help them to do so today. And we pray that the word of God would go forth with great strength, the only hope for all mankind, and that people would trust in you, Lord. Lord, you are our hope. You are our light. And even as the name lighthouse, Lord, we know it. A lighthouse is to warn of danger and guide to safety. And may we do so. So bless this assembly here, Lord. Bless each one. And our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Sorry for going overtime here, but thank you very much.
Let's just stand together and we'll close this time worshiping God one more time together in song.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You this week, and we pray we'll see you back again this coming week.